Ephesians chapter 5. I want to take just a few minutes tonight and talk to all the married couples. And Lord seemed like laid this on my heart that in the last couple of days while I was still in Florida, actually. I thought about, man, I ought to do this about every 2 or 3 months. Preach on marriage and the home, because the devil's doing everything he can to tear us apart. Isn't that right? And if you're married here today, tonight, the devil's trying to bust up your home. And he's trying to get your kids and ruin them. He's trying to ruin your life, trying to ruin the life of your husband or wife. He's trying to absolutely rip it apart. Bible said he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to devour your family. That's what the devil wants. And you ever seen a roaring lion? You know, you've seen them in movies and stuff. Some of them things, they'll grab them something in their teeth and sling it like that. And they'll grab a deer or something like that and just rip it, blood and guts and everything just goes everywhere. And that's what the devil wants to do to your home. Sling blood and guts everywhere. His job is to come between every husband and wife that's in this church tonight. Now, I'm going to take just a few minutes tonight and just kind of act like a friend. We'll sit down, have a little talk, and just going to bring some things. Everything I'm going to say tonight, you already know. But when you're married for years and years and years, you need to be reminded of these things over and over and over and over. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. And look at verse number 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Just for a few minutes tonight. Now, you folks in here that are not married, you go ahead and listen, pay attention anyway, because your day's probably coming. Look at it. Ephesians chapter 5, look at 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Isn't that interesting? It told you to submit to each other before it tells you all this other stuff. You give yourselves to each other. When a man and woman get married, they give themselves to each other. You are no longer your own. The Bible said you are become one flesh. One flesh. And he just looks down. You know, you ever notice? I'm not through reading, but you ever notice in the Bible, when the Bible said God made Adam and then he made the woman, God didn't call her Eve. Adam is who called her Eve. He called them Adam. He called them Adam. He looked down at both of them and said, "Hey, Adam, come here." And he meant both of them. They're one flesh. There was one flesh. Isn't that something? I really worry about all these modern day liberated women who are going to get married but don't want to become one, wanting to take their husband's name. And I ain't taking no man's name. I ain't tell you this, honey, but you already got a man's name. You may not take his, but you got your daddy's name. Amen? You got your name from your daddy. A woman gets her name from her husband or her daddy. That's just the way God set it up. Don't you think the Lord sort of grins when you got somebody down here, some of these old liberated women all around saying, I'll not take your name. I want to keep my own name, but God or daddy's name. God called them Adam. And so you got to understand tonight that when God looks at you, he looks at you like one person. Like one person. God called them Adam. When I used to have this poem about a women's liber, and boy, it was good. I don't know what I've done with it, but I'm going to run across it one of these days. And it said, it was a women's libbers fussing about always being referred to in the male gender. And they were fussing, and they were saying, why must it be that the woman, it's been 20 years since I've seen this thing, 15, why must it be that the gender is always referred to as a he? And said, I want to be a lady, but that word begins with lad, male. And said, I want to be woman, but look, M-A-N. Said, I forget the name, everything you call them. They said, I want to be, and finally it went up, she said, although I do not like the word, I guess I'll be a madam. Oh no, here we go again. That word ends with Adam. And there's the old men in the Amen River of a women's liver. And that was a long time ago, but that was a cool poem. And what it said was every word that ladies are referred to by has that male gender in it. And you can't get out of it. So he said, submitting yourselves one to another. Then let's look and see what he said. Look at it, verse 22. Here's the part the ladies don't like. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Hold it there just a second. And a lot of women say, that's just not fair, that's not right. It's just not right saying I have to do what he says, I submit to him. But ladies, if you would only realize that God has your best interest at heart. Let me tell you something. That Bible said that a woman is supposed to be to her husband just like the church is to Christ. Is Christ mean to the church? No. Does Christ hurt the church? No. Is the church miserable when she pleases Christ? No. I mean, God has your best interest at heart. God's not up there being real mean saying, all right, I don't like you women, so you just obey Him. That's not the way God is. It's just like God saying, children, obey your parents. Does God tell children to obey their parents because He hates them? No. Does God tell children to obey their parents because He's mad at them? No. Does God tell children, obey your parents because He thinks, oh, you little brats, I want to make your life miserable. Obey your parents. He does it because it's best for them. And it's best for their own good and benefit. So God says here, wives, be in submission to your own husband. Now, look at verse 24. So therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. My soul. People don't do that nowadays, do they? Well, let's look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Everybody look at that. God said husband ought to love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Listen, a man who's married should give himself for his wife. That's what it said. Amen? Now the tables are turned just a little bit. Now you see why God said, wives, submit to your husband. Because when a man loves you enough to die for you, then of course it works both ways and you have the tight bond that's pictured by Jesus Christ and the church down here on this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, brother, we're living in a day, buddy. We're living in a day. I told some of them the other day, just as soon as you get married, the devil goes to work on you. You know, you see somebody driving down the road, and they're in a little car, you know, like this, and they're all hugged up, and he's got his around her, and her lips are about that far from his ear, whispering stuff in there, and they're both laughing, going down the road like that. You know one thing right off the bat, don't you? They ain't married. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? That's sad. You say, well, married people don't that. Listen, the devil's got married people living like single people, and he's got single people living like married people. It ain't right that Hollywood and the world should be enjoying all the pleasures that only married people should be having, and all the married people are miserable, and they laugh. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Amen? Hey, God ordained marriage to be right and be Christian. There's nothing dirty about the bed. The Bible said marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. It's funny to me how a lot of you women love that bed before you get married, and as soon as you get married, you're saying it's dirty. I did not plan on saying that. It just popped out. Somebody messed up. That Bible said marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. Clean. That's right. That's what it said. I didn't plan on saying that, but I can't take it back now. So anyway, the Bible said in verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. Lord, have mercy. How the devil is fighting married couples tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a sad day. You know, you've heard that old story of the old man and old woman driving down the road, and they're driving down the road like this, old married couple. He's sitting here. She's sitting way over there looking out the window. About that time, a little sports car goes vroom. And here's this man, one boy, they're all hugged up, laughing and smooching going down the road. And the old woman looked at him and said, I remember when we used to sit like that. And the old man said, well, I ain't moved. Just kept on driving. Amen. Slide on over there. Listen, all you wives here tonight ought to just reach over there, put your arm around him, and pop him a big one on the jaw right there. Amen. Not right here, not yet, right now, yet. We'll do that in a little bit when we dismiss. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. We as Christians tonight, listen to me. Everybody's married, listen to me. The devil wants to make your life miserable. You see, the devil wants you to shack up. And if you say, I ain't going to do it, I'm going to get married and do right. So the devil says, all right, I'll just make you miserable then. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to live in sin. But if you refuse to live in sin, he sets out to make your life miserable. I believe tonight, I've been around a while. I do a lot of marriage counseling. I did this evening for about an hour before I came to church. I did while I was in Florida by telephone with several different ones. I do on a weekly basis. I do marriage. And you know, you learn some things after a while. You learn some things. And one of the things you learn is that, and you've heard preachers say this, but please don't miss this. It takes work on both parts constantly to have a good marriage and a strong marriage and a good home. Now, you might be one of these one out of a million that just lucks up and your personalities always agree and you never have a disagreement and everything. You might be that one. God bless you if you are. I'm telling you what, there's one out of 10,000 like that. Mike's back here raising his hand. He claims that him and his wife never have an argument. And he beat her eyes out before church to first say that. No, he didn't do that. But that's what they claim. And y'all been married how long? 16 years. I'm telling you what, they claim they never have. I'm going to let them teach us a marriage seminar one of these days. Amen? But thank God. Hallelujah. We shouldn't be jealous of that. We ought to say, glory to God, I'm happy for you. Lord, I've been married 2 years and all we do is fuss and fight all the time. But I'm going to tell you something this evening, ladies and gentlemen. You hear me? It don't have to be that way. It don't have to be that way. I'm going to tell you a couple things that'll solve your marriage problems tonight. I don't know what you call it, brother. How to work out your problems or whatever. I've heard people tell me all the time. Somebody told me this week. They said, I just married the wrong person. I just married the wrong person. Why is it everybody marries the wrong person? Why is it that everybody thinks they married the wrong person? Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes people do definitely marry the wrong. Sometimes it's doomed from day one. Sometimes it just goes downhill from the wedding ceremony and just keeps on going down till it ends in a bloody mess. But for the most part, most of you people in here tonight can work through any opposition or problem or trouble that you have. And I'm just going to be real scared tonight and brief, but I think that when you're married, divorce shouldn't be something that you even think about. Now, if your mate is cheating on you, or if they're beating you half to death, something like that, then you do have that option. But just because you fuss and argue, you shouldn't say, well, I want to go home. I'm going back home. I'm leaving you. I'm going. Just heck with you. We should have never got married. I'm tired of listening to your mouth. Lord, listen, divorce should never enter your mind. Now, if you were to lock me up in here this week, if you locked me in this church, and you bolted both all these doors and I could not get out, you know what I'd do? I'd try to find a way out. I'd try to find a vent. I'd run all over this place trying to dig my way out. I'd try to find a hole in the wall somewhere or under the door, break the window. I'd say, I'm get out of here if it kills me, because I don't like that feeling of being trapped. But if it ever got through my head that I'm in here and I ain't going nowhere, you know what I might do? Instead of standing out there watching them come up down the road, I hate it in here. I might just sit down in here and say, boy, you know what? I got a pretty good little life in here. Nice cold water fountain. I'm going to give me something to eat, pretty little flowers and trees and all that. And I'd enjoy it. I can learn how to enjoy where I am. That's a terrible comparison, isn't it? But I'm telling you, brother, listen, some of you are out there like this. You're like this, looking out there, and you think the world's having all this big fun and all this great time. It ain't no better there. They're out there looking in, wishing they had what you've got. Listen, you've got to understand, I'm married, I'm in this thing. Divorce is not a... Do like Bob Jones Sr. said he'd been married 40, 50 years. And somebody came and said, Dr. Bob, said, did you think about divorce all them years? He said, never one time. He said, murder, many times. Never divorce. That's good, isn't it? Isn't that good? He said, I want to kill her, but I ain't going to divorce her. He said, I'm going to stick it out. And that's very, very good and right with common human nature. Well, we're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Now, I know you're sitting there saying, well, Brother Danny, you're not married. That's easy for you to get parents. Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Don't matter if you're married or not. The Bible's still right, and God's still the best way, and the Lord knows what He's talking about. I'm going to preach to you what the Bible says. My job. You say, well, man, they ain't married, can't preach to married. You're crazy. That's like as married can't preach to single people. What kind of nut are you? You preach the Bible no matter what. You preach the Bible regardless. And the Bible said, husbands, love your wife. The Bible said, wives, submit to your husband. It is a known fact that men are selfish. I'd say that, but it's true. Fellas, we might as well admit it. They think of themselves. And the Bible tells a husband to do exactly what he's not natured to do. You know what's wrong with every man in here tonight? They think about themselves all the time. Me, what I want. That's our basic nature. And sometimes when a man gets right with God, he can love his wife and family and give himself. But for the most part, man's got old self down at the bottom there somewhere in his dealings and his decisions. And you've heard me use that illustration before. If you don't believe it, give a baby to a grown man. Most men, there are exceptions. Most men, you give them a little baby, here's what they'll do. Hey, in there, throw it up a time or two. Give it back to her. Keep it, hold it about a minute or two. Ain't that right? Now, a woman, man, she'll grab him and stick that hip out there like that. I can't do it like they do. It goes way out here. Little saddle right here. Set that youngin' on that thing, man. They'll walk around like that for hours and hours. I'm saying, and do housework and everything holding that youngin'. I'd die if I had to carry a baby like that all day long. I don't see how they do it. But a woman can do that. But man can't. Because a man is basically selfish. I mean, when he sits down at the table, he wants his food. Have you ever noticed that a man's usually got money for what he wants to do, but he ain't never got no money for what you want to do? Amen. You need to work on that. Have you ever noticed if it's something he really wants, he can conjure up the money for it. But if it's something you want, he just can't afford it. We can't afford that. No, sir. We can't afford that. But boy, when it comes time for his fun, when it comes time for his little hunting trip, when it comes time for his fishing trip, when it comes time for his golf game, amen, when it comes time for his, hey, y'all need to get right with God. Just come on over here and get right. Roy Rapp, you're the first one. Amen. Give me $5, Millie. Amen. Millie will give me $5 for that. Isn't it funny? Now, I don't think Roy would do that, do you? Huh? All right. We have a marriage in crisis. What I didn't tell you, although I've been counseling in Florida all week, is really... But no, I'm just kidding. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. We're all like that. Boy, it comes time for that football game. Everybody out of the house. Kid run across the front of the TV. Smack it right in the head. Quiet. Bring my dinner in here. I've been waiting all week to watch this game. What if these women had something that consumed them like that? You men would take a fit. You spoiled brats, you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I mean, your wife that Jesus give you, and you're supposed to love her like Jesus loved the church. And you're a little smart aleck, spoiled, rotten brat, wanting your way, acting like a 2-year-old. I bet you're glad your wife ain't here tonight. Poor Janie's sick, and he's over here shouting. Left her bleeding at home this morning. He did, really. Nosebleed. Men are selfish. I heard about one man that won a vacation for two to Hawaii and went twice. That sounds like one, don't it? Amen. Submission is easier than love. You know, a lot of women say, well, it's not fair. We have to submit to him. Man, you ought to try loving somebody to die for them that fusses at you every time you walk in the house. Yeah. Now the men are coming on. Really, I mean, try to love somebody enough to die for them, and every time you go, man, I'm telling you, one fella, they said this one man wasn't saved, and the preacher went and witnessed to him, and witnessed to him, and witnessed to him, and finally, he'd mean as the devil, he said, he finally witnessed the guy, he said, man, won't you come to church? He said, I'll just be honest with you, preacher. He said, the only peace and quiet I ever get is when she's gone to church. He said, I ain't about to mess that up. Isn't that sad? That's sad. The Bible example, every woman wants a man who's willing to die for her. Naturally. You know when Adam and Eve ate that fruit? Eve knew she was going to die. And Adam proved his love for Eve by eating. The Bible said Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't. He knew exactly what he was doing. The devil tricked Eve. Adam went into it with his eyes wide open. He knew he was going to die. He knew God would kill him. He knew his flesh would die. But he loved that woman enough to die with her. And ever since then, Hollywood's got rich off of that. A woman wants, he loves, he risked his life. He threw himself in front of the horse buggy to save me. When we're going to be killed or over the falls or whatever. Those are love stories that make Hollywood movies. Jacob served 14 years for Rachel. You know, these guys always saying, hurry up, now. That's lust. Love don't mind waiting a while. Lust says, hurry up, gotta have it. Love said, okay, if it takes a while. Jacob worked 7 years for his wife, messed around, got the wrong one, worked 7 more years, 14 solid years before he got the woman that he wanted. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? Now, let me just say a few things to the men. I'll say a few things to the ladies, and then we'll go. If you love her, listen, marriage is not 50-50. I've heard people say, it was supposed to be 50-50. Nope, it's 100-100. Both of you give 100%. That's the only way you're going to make it. Some of you ladies, there's so much stuff I can't even begin to scratch the surface. You shouldn't bring up their past faults. Every time he messes up, you shouldn't bring up something he did 10 years ago and beat him with it. Or vice versa, you men shouldn't bring it up. You say you forgive them, then you keep bringing it up. I'm glad God don't do that. Listen, brother, if you forgive them, forget it and go on. If you love her, listen, if you love her, you don't show it. Don't tell her you love her. Be complimentary. You love her. Don't talk down to her just to prove you're right. Some of you men, you're always talking down to your wife. Well, you don't know. You dumb girl. You old stupid thing. You don't know nothing. You don't know. That is not the way that you won her. When you first met her and fell in love, you didn't get her attention by saying, oh, stupid. Boy, you sure a dummy. You ain't gonna... Let me just give you this. I don't have an outline. I'm just talking off the top of my head. Every woman wants a man that's willing to die for her. And every man wants a woman who makes him feel like he's Superman. Every man wants to feel like he's Superman, whether he is or not. Ain't none of a Superman. But you like to feel like you are. And so when a woman says, you're so smart. You're so strong. Well, I like you. Ain't that right? It ain't you. He likes how you make him feel. There's old self. I've given this illustration before. Some of you ladies say, well, I fuss at him. I can't get him to do nothing. Listen, if you women can play your cards right, you can get anything you want if you do it right. The way you do it is you say, well, I've been fussing at him to change that, fix that leaky Falkett. A leaky Falkett. And that old thing been leaking. And I fussed at him. And he won't never fix it. That sorry thing. I ain't getting to do it. I fuss at him every day. But what you don't realize is he don't even hear you. He can't hear you. He just absolutely turns you off. See, it's a proven fact that most men speak an average of 13,000 words a day. Right? I mean, that's what statistics say. And I'm tired, man. I've traveled all day and been preaching for a week and a half. But anyway, it's a known fact that most women speak 25,000 words a day. That's what they say statistically. So When he comes home from work, he's done got his 13,000 said and over with. And he so he wants, you know what he wants to do? He wants to just kick back and turn the TV on and sit there. And she's got about 12,000 words left that she's going to put on somebody. If you don't believe it, ask any man in here, ask him how his day went. How'd your day go? He'll say, all right. Ask her how her day went. How'd your day go? Well, at 9:10, so-and-so called. And when she called me, I knew I was going to be on the phone when she called me. She told me about her mother. Did you know her mother has been in the hospital for 2 weeks, and I didn't even know it. And then she got out and had her gallbladder took out. And then she went home. She came home, and she went to that same doctor that my mother went to. And after that, then she goes on in their dinner. And, you know, I went in there, and we ain't got nothing. We're going to have to get some groceries. We out in here, and we ain't nothing in there but peanut butter. And couldn't find nothing but nothing mustard and jelly. And then after that, you know, and that what? I went out of that washing machine making the funniest noise. You're going to have to do something about that thing. I'm just on and on and on. I'm telling you, that's why God don't put women to preach. You think we're alone? What if they got up here? You'd still be here from this morning service. So I'm going to fling that pocketbook and stomp them high heels and say, one more thing, I'm going to tell you people something. You're all going to hell if you don't do what I tell you to. Listen, that's the basic difference. A man don't love his wife like he should if he won't attend church with her as a family. Man don't love his wife as he should if he don't help her kids. I've seen families come in, man come in, sit down and take his Bible. Hallelujah, glory to God. Here come the wife in with four kids, you know, trying to grab one's coat, you know, hold another like that. I mean, you ought to help her. They're yours. They're just as much yours as they are hers. Amen. Help her out with the kids, fellas. It ain't going to hurt you to stay home, babysit, and let her go Christmas shopping a time or two. Kill the whole service. So you're crazy if you think I'm going to give her my money and tell her to go Christmas shopping and I'm staying home with a kid. I do admit that's a scary thing. You married her, brother. You do what the Lord told you to do. You know what people want? You know what young people want? They want all the privileges of married life, but none of the responsibilities of married life. Everybody wants to go live like married people, but nobody don't want to take the responsibilities of a husband or a wife. Amen. Amen. Now, if you love her like you're supposed to, volunteer. Out of clear blue. Just to fix supper once in a while. Man told me that day in Florida. Young man told me, he'd been married 5 years. He said, Brother Danny, he said, when I first got married, he said, me and her, he said, we got married. And they were real young. I think he's only 20. I guess he's about 22 when he got married. He said, when we first got married, she got up every morning and fixed breakfast. He said, I couldn't believe it. He said, my goodness, this is great. Every morning, he could hear her in there getting breakfast. She'd come in there and say, honey, it's ready. He'd go in there and eat. He said, wow. You know, I was going to get treated this good. And one day he thought, he said, honey, he said, you don't have to do this. I mean, I appreciate it and I love you and everything, but you don't have to do this every morning. And he said, she ain't done it since. Not one time. She quit. Okay, I don't have to. That's what he said. I should have never said that. Lord help, man. You ought to volunteer. How about you fixing a meal once in a while, feller? Take her out on special times. I think it's wrong to quit dating each other after you're married. You should date each other. You did before you got married. You should date each other after you're married. Plan a date. Friday night, whatever. Saturday night, whatever. And say, we're going on a date. Just like we did before we was married. You remember when you was dating, you took her out and bought her the most expensive meal you could find. And spent the rest of the evening trying to squeeze it back out of her. You don't love your wife when you're unwilling to to admit you're wrong. There ain't no man right all the time. And if you're too stubborn and too proud to say, look, okay, I'm at fault here. I'm wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry. You ain't got no hope of being having the right kind of relationship. When you get home, you know you can trust her. You know she loves you. She's good to you. She tries to keep herself looking good for you. You ought to thank God for her and give her a little bit. Give her what she wants once in a while. Not always have to be your way. Amen. Get her a card or a flowers just out of the clear blue sky. Not tomorrow, right after I preach this. It won't work. Take the kids to the doctor or give them a bath. Don't be stingy with your money. I know people split, right? You get so much, I get so much. This is my food, that's your food. Don't you eat my food. Isn't that pitiful? Ladies, let me say to you, and I'll be through. Remember when y'all used to talk for hours and hours? I've often wondered what happens when people get married. I've always wondered why when you first met, you could just talk on the phone, talk for hours and hours and hours, and now you can't do that. I don't know why. I don't know. I've tried to figure it out. I think sometimes men feel like, well, all she's going to do is fuss at me, so I'll just close up. And I'll just turn a deaf ear because to a man, when you fuss at him, it feels like you're beating him. Just like a woman being smacked with a fist. That's the way it feels to a man. Just boom, boom, boom. Yeah, I've had them tell me, man, she's abusing me. All she does is make my life a living hell. I've had them tell me that. A man can't turn on to a woman who fusses at him. You fall in love with somebody by thinking good thoughts about them. You fall out of love with somebody by thinking bad thoughts about them. You know how come when you first, all you can see is their good point. Then you start learning their faults and you start thinking, they ain't what I thought they were. And they start seeing your faults and saying, well, they ain't either. Guess what? We're all like that. Everybody's like that. And the way you make your marriage work is you see their faults and accept them anyway. And choose to overlook. You say, yeah, but he could change that if he would. No. You ain't going to change it. You ain't going to turn. It ain't going to happen. You say, if I could just get him to change it, you ain't going to. God's the only one that can change somebody. Probably the more you fuss at him, the worse you get. You just got to learn to accept that person like they are. And say, I chose to be your husband, or I chose to be your wife. And then every day, just forgive, and keep starting all over. Clean slate every morning. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You've done that yesterday. If you do that one more time, no. Clean slate every morning. But the Bible said, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. I'll say a couple of things, and I'm through tonight. I know this wasn't very great, but I feel like this wasn't laid on my heart. There are other women who would love to have your husband, and there are other men who would love to have your wife. Lord, if they know them like I know them, they wouldn't. See, that's the problem. You see their faults, they see their good points. You remember when your favorite three words were, I love you? Now what's your favorite three words? Let's eat out. Like that woman told a man once, said, whisper those three words that make me feel like I'm floating on air. He said, catch a plane? One lady told me, she said, I have to be hateful. I can't help it. I don't believe that. Now, I know you got problems. I know you got problems. I thank God that I don't have. But I've heard these women that claim, I've seen them being real hateful to their husband, and they say, I can't help it. And then when their friends call on the telephone, hey, how are you? It's so nice to see you. You can be nice when you want to. You can be nice if you want to. Let the wife see she reverenced her husband. Have you ever heard a sermon on the wife reverencing her husband? Reverence? Ladies, I used to tell when Carrie and Todd first got married, I said, Carrie, you better respect him. Respect him. And I've told him, you can ask her, I've told, every time they'll start doing something, I'll tell them. I say, respect each other. Respect him. If you respect that man, you'll get a lot further with him than you will be just tearing him down, cutting him down all the time. Amen? Do you respect? You ladies respecting your husband? Why don't you start tonight and say, I'm going to respect him as a man. Why don't every man here tonight start and say, I'm going to do just like Jesus would do the church. If Jesus wouldn't talk to the church like that, I'm not going to talk to her like that. If Jesus wouldn't act like that to her, then I'm not going to act like that to her. If Jesus would, I'm going to do just like Jesus would to the church.